Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're on.
And we're on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Liam, the daughter.
I'm Lauren, the mom.
What? Ice queen. She is
you
so
keep saying I'm
grumpy.
Crabby.
She is so grumpy today.
I don't feel like I am grumpy.
You know what? I'm a little grumpy, too.
Are you?
And I'm phlegmy. Yeah. Do you hear that?
Yeah. Are you going to, like, cough a balloog or something?
You know what? Like, no. No.
No.
No.
No. No, I'm not.
I think I went Australian. I think that's what that was.
I think in your mind, you think,
but anyway, yeah, a little phlegmy, a little grumpy. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you are just a little grumpus yourself. You know what? The camera was recording and I said to her something about being grumpy and she looked at me with those eyes and she said, I'm not grumpy. And I knew I was in trouble. And I'm going to show it to the patrons so I can prove that you are, in fact.
I do have grumpy days.
You have grumpy eyes.
I have grumpy eyes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's 2 weeks without the sugar.
Oh, there. Okay, is that update.
Is that it? Update.
You know what? Fair enough. That'll do it.
Will that do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't satiate my emotions with sugar.
Yes, let it out.
You know?
Let it out, Davey. Lori. Your name fits, so you got to slide it in.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, this can be your therapy session today.
Oh, okay, cool.
Vent it away.
Vent away.
Because I'm a little grumpy too.
Are you?
I wrote down a few stupid things that I just want to vent about.
You want to vent.
You know what? These are like stupid problems.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot going on in the world.
Yeah.
But because we're both grumpy, I feel like we need to let out some steam.
Do we?
Before we get started today, or else it's going to just be like us sitting here staring at each other. Okay. Are you ready for my list?
Yeah. You got a list.
You're involved in some of these.
Am I?
Yeah, I didn't share this with you yet.
Okay.
And feel free to comment.
Okay.
Or not comment. Today's our grumpy day, so you can
do
whatever you want.
I want. Okay. Yeah. I love it.
Okay. Our IKEA cutting board broke straight in half.
Yeah, it did.
I loved that cutting board.
I know. It's a goner. RIP.
You know what? Have we had it for like maybe 12 years? Yes.
Did we pay $2.99 for it? I mean, come on.
That fucker held on. Did I still shed a tear today? I was like, wow, gone too soon. I took a picture with it, just stumped.
I think we got our $2.99 out of it.
I was absolutely frazzled.
I mean, it's just been a rough couple weeks for kitchenware in this house.
Well, that leads me to my next one. That leads me to my next thing I need to vent about.
I know.
This is a continuation to the last 2 weeks. So
of the casserole, casserole.
If you haven't listened to those, go catch up. Laura ordered a replacement pan.
Yeah,
because she
felt so bad.
She
had to toss.
Completely killed, just absolutely
RIP
massacred
to the boneyard.
My favorite pan. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I didn't know it was your favorite. I didn't know you were had an attachment to the pan.
It was our only one.
That's so true. Talk about something that's been holding on for too long.
By default, that was the one that I had formed a bond with.
Attachment to inanimate objects.
Oh, always. Oh, I could talk about that for hours. So you ordered a replacement pan.
I did. And I thought I was doing really good.
You did.
I was like, I got a 4 for the price of 1.
Laura doesn't read descriptions.
I looked up 9x13 cake pan.
And she assumes that what comes up is what she asked
That's
for.
That's right.
And you're right.
You know what? With this technology in this age,
preach.
What I ask for should be delivered. I mean, I said,
preach,
I put
it,
in
girl.
The search bar, 9x13 pan.
You got some claps in there. Yeah,
I did.
You did.
you know, it came to the store. I was like, what is this for October's Easy Bake Oven? The shit. It was like a muffin pan, mm-hmm. a cake pan.
She thought a cookie she got sheet, a deal.
And like a rack to cool your cookies.
One cookie.
It would only fit one cookie. So the muffin pan was like the mini muffins. So, Entenmann's.
Mini muffins. Dude, those are fire. I could go for some of those. So upon further inspection, it was a toaster oven set. It was made for a small toaster oven, Laura. You have
an easy bake.
You have to read the description. Please, for the love of God.
That went straight back. So we are still panless.
Panless. Panless. As a motherfucker. That's someone right. Send a pan.
Obviously, I don't PO know how to shop.
Oh, no, you absolutely do not. Leave it to me. Could you please just ask me next time?
All right.
Okay, here's one from me. Mm-hmm. I will roast. Do you know what? Do you need to take a sip? Go ahead, slurp.
Well, here's my vent, gripe.
Okay, go ahead.
You put mashed up raspberries in my drink and I can't sip through the straw because it's getting clogged with raspberries.
I thought I was being fancy. I thought I really did. You should have seen me in there. I was like, damn, look at me mashing up raspberries to go with this raspberry beverage. Mm-hmm, Laura's gonna love it. It's fragrant. It's so beautiful.
It's wafting an aroma. Yeah,
it keeps like getting jammed stuck in my straw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, are you ready for my next one? Apologies okay. for the raspberries.
Okay.
I had just got a new Aquaphor chapstick mm-hmm. that I fell in love with.
Yeah.
I was very hyper-focused on that chapstick yeah. for a minute. And then when I unhyper-focused, I forgot it was in my jean pocket and I washed it in a load of laundry.
No.
Luckily, I don't know how we feel about this. This might be a good thing or a bad thing.
Probably
it didn't melt.
Health terms.
It didn't melt. It stayed intact.
It's petroleum.
So luckily it did not, you know, yeah. do that leaky stain thing. Mm. So I don't know if that's
That's happened a million times.
With me and the chapstick. It happens once a week.
Yeah. I think you did it. You already talked about this. Mm,
did
I think my Harry Nilsson shirt was in there because there's like a big.
Have we talked about
there's
this?
There's a big
that's so
like,
embarrassing.
Oil spot like on his nostril or something. And I'm like, every time I put them on now, I'm like, look, Harry, you've got a stain. I paid like $30 for that t-shirt. I never buy myself anything. And look, you fucked it up.
Well, stop doing loads of laundry with me. Let me do my own load. Oh my God. Yeah, I should not be allowed to have chapstick.
You should not.
And I should not be allowed to do laundry. There, I'm done. I'm totally done. And here's my last one.
Okay.
And this involves all of you listening to this. Okay. And I didn't tell you this yet.
You didn't.
Because I'm mortified.
Uh-oh.
Here's my last thing to rant about.
Okay.
Our listeners keep tagging us in a TikTok video or multiple TikTok videos of Zach Bagans saying that he has a foot fetish. And I am absolutely mortified every time I open it. I'm like, oh, we're tagged. I wonder what people want to show us. And then I see that motherfucker and I'm like, here we go.
He likes feet.
He likes. Of course he does. That makes it checks out in my brain. I hear you loud and clear. I have seen the video. He deserves a roast. Now he's definitely getting
now
a fucking
roast. Now he's definitely
roast.
Getting a roast.
I think he said something about he likes them tiny and he likes them to look like doll feet. And I believe he has a fear of dolls. So you know what? Someone pick that man's brain apart, please.
Get him in the chair.
So, hey, you can stop tagging us in that now. I've seen it.
A million times.
It really gives me the creeps. Mm-hmm. Watch. We'll be tagged in it.
You're going to get it more now.
A million times.
Yeah.
Hey, on that note, something mm-hmm. to rant about. I do believe Joe Biden signed the TikTok ban. So maybe rest in peace.
Oh, to TikTok?
To TikTok. So R.I.P. that could be a conversation for another
Whoa.
Day.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. So we can't even watch funny fucking videos anymore. We can't even
bring back the vines.
We can't even. You know Ooh, what?
You know what?
I would pay good money.
Start it. Do it. Take the helm.
What should I call it?
Vins. Vines. Signs.
Are you just rhyming with Vine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
That's yeah.
all of the brain capacity I have today.
It's your grumpy day. I'm going to start, like, we it's can do this day. Every once in a while. Yeah. I think we should each get a grumpy day.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we should have a button, a grumpy button that we smack that lets people know that we're just pissy for no fucking reason.
It happens to the best of us.
It does.
Yeah.
And we're linked up a little bit. So you know what? If this episode is just a rant session, enjoy it.
That's what it is.
Have fun.
You know what? Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that was all I had to rant about.
Is that it?
I feel better. I feel refreshed. I feel renewed.
You feel ready to go?
Hey, go check out our Patreon. There's a lot of... Would you Sorry. Fucking stop with the slurping? Again, with the grumpy day, I get it. But oh my God, consider it much.
Rude
much. Yeah, a lot of cool shit happening on Patreon. Whoa, those chats. We have a lot of cool chats over there.
We're still on the casserole chat.
Oh my God, yeah. Could we knock it off? Officially, hey. I'm hitting the knock the casserole chat off.
I feel like button. I've gotten some good recipe ideas. After I get another pan, maybe I'll make another casserole.
Okay, so that'll be in a few years when you figure out how to buy the right size pan. You can also rate us on Spotify and Apple.
Yes.
5 stars, please. It really does help the show. And hey, check out our merch. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? Just show Uncle Bob some love.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, thank you. Are you ready to get into it today?
You know what? I really am.
Okay, I am doing something that like weirdly was never suggested.
Okay.
And I don't think that I would have thought to actually do it on the show. And then the last time I asked for movie suggestions, like 4 people requested it.
Oh, really?
And I was like, that's kind of weird because I had not seen it requested before.
Right.
So I'm doing Repo: The Genetic Opera.
I have never heard of that.
Have you not? I feel like maybe is not like a lot of people know this. Dive? I didn't think so, but really? I did kind of have a lot of like alt goth, I don't know, steampunk crowd friends, which is I think who was into this.
Okay.
So I knew about it.
All right.
And I had seen it before, but you were totally clueless.
I'm totally clueless. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are based on the reaction that we got when we announced I was doing this. Uh-huh. So this is from 2008, if you don't know.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. So this is like, again, this was a very rare moment.
Okay.
You're exiting kind of the early 2000s and you're, I don't know, like the style.
Floundering out there.
The style was just very specific. And if you go and like watch this movie, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But this is a horror musical / gothic rock opera.
Whoa. That's a mouthful.
Let that
right
sink
there.
In. Gothic rock opera. Rated R. Yeah. So I do like that when horror is involved. I do prefer an R rating.
Of course.
Thank you very much. Mm. Here's your tagline. Not your parents' opera.
It's not. I don't even know what an opera is.
Oh my God. The one time I don't define
Phantom
something
of
for
the
you.
Opera?
Yeah. Like it's like a musical style.
I mean, I know what an like opera is. But
oh, okay. Like a theater production.
What are famous operas?
Oh, you know what? Fuck you. I didn't
Phantom
look this
Phantom of
up.
The Opera?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not your parents' opera. I get you.
It's
Madame
not.
Butterfly. Ooh, I know that's an opera.
Okay. Yes, Laura.
Yes.
Work that opera knowledge.
Okay. I don't have much.
Okay. But it's not that.
I would not win in that category on Trivial Pursuit.
Anything you're thinking of when you hear the word opera, this is not
this
that.
This is not it.
Even though it kind of is.
Okay.
Because it does get very like operatic, in my opinion.
Operatic.
Okay. Written by Darren Smith and Terrence Zadunik. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Like, so wrong.
Yeah.
It feels wrong.
It feels so wrong.
Feels so wrong. And it's based on their 2002 stage play of the same name.
Okay.
So this was a stage theater production.
Before
and it feels like it while you're watching
it. Does it?
Yes, it very much does. Directed by Darren Lynn Bousman. And he is known for his work in the Saw franchise. I know he did Saw 2, but I think he did 2 through 4.
Okay.
And I like Saw 2.
Did I just see the 10?
No, stop.
Saw 10.
Why? Stop.
I mean, that man is still alive.
Is he? I don't know.
Jigsaw? Yeah, he's in it. Tobin Bell?
No, he's fucking not.
Yes.
Damn. Okay.
Dude, I'm going to watch that.
Are you going to watch that?
Yeah, I'm going to.
You're not
to.
Caught up.
No, I'm not.
You're
but,
missing
you know, they're
like
pretty much
six
all the
through.
Same. They're all the same.
Same premise.
This one apparently... is he was told he was cured from whatever malady he's had one through nine.
Okay.
But then they were just, you know, jerking him around. And so then, you know, they're going to be in the Saw room.
I thought that's what fucking happened in like Saw 1 or 2.
Damn it. I don't know.
You know what, Laura? I mean, I liked that rundown.
Somebody's been trying to cure him
you
for
should be
10,
like a movie.
Like, Siskel and Ebert, move on over.
That's us. Yeah, but if you're familiar with the Saw movies, mm-hmm. you'll know when you turn them on, you see that like twisted pictures
yeah.
thing mm-hmm. come up and you see that when okay. you turn on Repo, the genetic all opera. Right. So it very much feels...
Gives it some validation.
In the same world.
All right.
Are you ready for the cast?
Yes.
Okay. We have Anthony Stewart Head.
Dude, when you told me Giles was in this,
as
I was like...
Nathan.
No, and he's singing.
I totally forgot that Forget he it. Was the lead. If you don't know, he is Giles from Buffy, yeah. the television show.
Yeah. And you know what? One of my favorite episodes of Buffy is that day he's in that coffee shop and he's singing.
But my dreams, they are as empty as my conscience seems. He's low-key singing the Fred Durst version of yes. Behind Blue Eyes, which I do appreciate. Thank you, know you Giles. And of course the musical episode Once More with Feeling of Buppy. Yeah. Buppy. Oh, fuck me.
Buppy. You've been watching too much Blippi.
Who's Buppy?
Buffy's cousin. Buppy.
Fucking hell.
She does not slay vampires.
No. Buppy. Doesn't sound like she could do very
She is
much.
Not intimidating. She does not intimidate me, Buppy.
Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, he can sing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, he's got some chops.
He's got some fucking pipes.
Damn, I'm impressed.
And if you haven't seen this and you thought he had pipes just from watching Buffy,
yeah.
holy shit, he is singing his ass off Dude, in this movie.
I'm gonna watch it just to hear Giles.
You really should. I think that he's the best part of this course. Film. I really do like him. Then we have Alexa Pena Vega as Shiloh Wallace, and you will remember her from Spy Kids. You might not.
I might not.
My-
I've not seen Spy Kids.
She was the girl from yeah. Spy Kids.
Okay. Was that a Disney thing?
Why are you asking me so many questions?
I don't know. Because if no, it was Disney, that explains why I wouldn't have seen it.
I don't fucking
Nickelodeon,
know.
I don't know.
I really did like Spy Kids, though.
Did you?
Yes, I did. You know what? I think I could do that on the show.
I bet you
I
could.
I think I could make that work.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn you around. Mm. We're going to change your opinion.
Is that right?
But anyway, I do believe she sang in the Spy Kids movies, if I remember correctly, or she sang at some point.
Okay.
She cannot
she
sing
it. You're saying she shouldn't do it.
Not
she
in
shouldn't.
This.
She can't. I can't hold up with Anthony Stewart Head.
You know what?
He rocks it.
He shines too bright. Dimmed her light a little bit, you know? Yeah, because they play father-daughter. So, yikes. Then we have Paul Sorvino. Yes, you heard me correctly. You
know, the mob boss,
Paul Sorvino. As Roddy Largo. So... He,
Roddy,
you know,
Roddy,
he
like Largo.
Roddy Largo. He's wearing.
That would be a great mashup if he had a kilt on.
Stop it. Well, he is wearing a topper that has a ponytail on it. It took me halfway through the movie. I said, wait a minute. Does that have a little rat tail on it? Roddy Largo, the ponytail. It's a topper, though. Because at one point you see him put it on. I was like,
oh, no.
But yes, he is singing opera.
Damn.
In this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he like is passionate about opera. I think I read that.
In real life.
Yeah, like he likes to sing opera.
R.I.P. because he passed away, but.
Oh, I thought you were joking there for a minute.
No.
I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Why didn't anyone tell me?
I think when that whole rash of the mob stars passed away, like Paul Walnuts and everything, he was in with that group, Paul Sorvino.
I was too busy
yeah.
crying over the Paulie Walnuts. Oh, my Walnuts. Gosh. Yeah. Well, rest in peace. He was also singing his fucking ass off in this movie. I liked the ponytail topper. Okay, 10 out of 10. Then we have Paris Hilton as Amber Sweet.
Enough said.
She is perfect in this role, yeah. though. I will say she is one
no
of the...
No pulls to the head.
No pulls to the face. Well,
there may have been a pull to the face.
There may have been a pull to the face. She is like, this is the perfect movie for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like supposed to sing bad.
Okay.
So
Paris, she nailed it.
She nailed it. I thought she was really great. Then we have Bill Moseley as Luigi Largo. I think he, Bill Moseley, seems lovely. Do we know who that is?
Who is Bill Moseley?
He's from House of a Thousand Corpses, and he's Chop Top. Is that what his name is?
Mm-hmm.
Crop Top.
Crop Top.
Crop Top.
Crop Top with a Chop Top.
Crop Top. Chop Top. from one of the Texas chainsaws.
Yeah, okay.
I think because the characters he plays in those movies, every time I see him, I get like violently angry. Oh. And so in this, I just wanted to like punch him in the face. And he's not great in this either. Oh, like the characters he plays are just horrendous. I hate them. But he seems, you know,
like a lovely human.
He seems like a dude. So I'm so sorry, but I kind of hate when I see your face in a movie. Then we have Nivek Ogre as Pavi Largo.
Okay.
And if you are a fan of the band Skinny Puppy.
Oh, Skinny Puppy.
You will know who that is.
Okay.
Then we have Terrence Zdunik. There he is again. And you know what? Damn it. I had to say it twice. So this is one of the writers.
Okay.
He's the grave robber. And he's kind of like the narrator. He's one of my favorite characters in this. He can sing.
Really?
He's like, Black Market. Did you see the shoulder move?
I did. It was pretty swanky.
He's kind of like, I don't know. He's kind of slick. Yeah, I liked him. Then we have Sarah Power as Marnie. And lastly, we have
Marnie.
Aggie. She's visiting from Halloween Town. And we have Sarah Brightman as Blind Mag.
Okay.
And this actress is a famous soprano singer. So really? Like an opera singer,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, with like Tony and Carmella.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I was like, do I have to define soprano singer because she's going to make a joke?
I got it.
But she has the pipes. She's my other favorite
soprano
character.
Soprano pipes.
I really like her.
Okay.
Okay, so if you are unaware of what this movie is, it is a musical.
Oh, give it
It is like, there are 58 songs.
What?
I said 58. Did you hear me? In this film, there are hardly any spoken words. It's almost one back-to-back-to-back-to-back song.
Yikes.
It's a lot. I had to take a break halfway through and like, you know.
Come back.
Have a swig of coffee.
Come back.
Breathe. Center myself. Because of these people cannot sing.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
You know what? It's very creative. This is a creative film. I think it gets like, you either really like this and appreciate it, or you're like, what the fuck is this? And I landed somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I can appreciate the artistry.
Ah.
I said this was like if Rocky Horror and Queen of the Damned had an apocalyptic goth rock love child.
There you go.
So if you're into that.
This is the movie for you.
Are you ready for my rundown?
Yes.
All right, this plot is like complicated for kind of no reason. That's choppy. My main kind of complaint.
Okay.
There's a lot of just nonsense. Mm-hmm. But we open with like a comic book style. It kind of reminded me of that movie Sin City a little bit. Do you remember that?
Sin City vibes.
The year is 2056.
Whoa.
And an epidemic of organ failures has left millions to die. Hmm. And the world is like completely industrialized and like, it's not looking cute.
Okay.
Okay. Out of the tragedy, a savior emerges. Gene Co, a mega corporation who offers organ financing to cheat death for now.
Oh.
And it's run by CEO Roddy Largo. There he is. Roddy Largo. I love that name. Roddy. Why does it sound like a pasta dish? I'll take the Roddy Largo, please. Doesn't it?
Roddy
Paul
Largo.
Sorvino just comes out.
At my hut in Key Largo.
That was really quick. I liked that. Okay. Okay, but there's a catch. Okay, they're not just going to like give you organ financing.
Yeah.
Okay, this
you
is a corporation.
Exactly.
So if someone who received an organ transplant who otherwise couldn't afford it, if they fall behind on their payments, Roddy sends in a repo man to hunt them down and violently take the organ back.
Damn.
An organ repossession.
Whoa.
Completely legal.
Yikes.
Because he's like, you know, he like runs the town.
Of course.
Roddy Largo. I'm going to take a shot every time we say Roddy.
Roddy.
Yeah. And every time I say it, Laura's going to respond with that. That's like a call.
That's right.
Okay. So through this, while this is happening.
Yeah.
Gene Co. also kind of carves out like a new niche.
Mm-hmm.
Surgery as a fashion statement. So this leads people to use these loans, from my understanding, to like basically reconstruct themselves entirely.
Mm.
Yeah. So like I want a new face.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an entire new face.
Ask John Travolta, face off. Nicolas Cage. There we go.
Okay.
Face off. New face.
Do you remember that show Face Off though?
Yes. Love it.
Where'd it go?
Where'd
Glenn
it go?
Glenn Hetrick. That's a topic.
I showed up just to see what he was wearing.
You know what?
You know, you could watch one of the seasons on one of these streaming channels. I already watched it. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going to go do it. He always looked pissed off. Talk about grumpy button. he was hitting that grumpy button every damn day. I got to go watch that show. I loved it. Okay. Anywho, they're reconstructing themselves. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cosmetic surgery, but like amped the fuck up.
Yeah.
To help with all of the surgery pains, Gene Co. Okay. They're there to help, right?
Of course.
They develop Xydrate, an expensive and addictive painkiller prescribed by surgeons. And this is all being said to us via song. Okay.
Of course. I got the mustard out.
When Paul Sorvino, like, he is really operatic. So every word that comes out of his mouth, I'm like, give me performance. Okay. So Xydrate comes in a little glass vial.
Okay.
And Laura hasn't seen this, so she doesn't know the call. But like, you know how Rocky Horror has calls?
Yeah.
So this is one of the songs.
Okay.
So it's Xydrate comes in a little glass vial. And you would say, a little glass vial? And I'd go, a little glass vial? Trying to explain this to someone.
So are you supposed to go to a theater and watch this?
I think
Like a Rocky Horror type style?
Yes, that does happen.
Oh wow!
This is actually kind of funny.
Hot dogs.
This would be like explaining Rocky Horror to someone. Actually, it does kind of feel like that. But anyway, if you haven't seen this movie, you probably know this song.
Okay.
If you're on the internet at all, which Lore is absolutely not.
No.
But you will know this Xydrate song. I think we can all agree it's the best song in the movie.
Okay. Out of the 58.
But it's explaining what the drug is.
Okay,
so Xydrate comes in a little glass vial, and the little glass vial goes into the gun like a battery. So there's like this, you know, futuristic looking gun.
Yeah.
And the Xydrate gun goes somewhere against your anatomy, and when the gun goes off, it sparks, and you're ready for surgery. So it basically makes you feel absolutely nothing.
Okay.
It's highly addictive.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because everyone is so hooked on this shit, grave robbers are selling a cheap version of Xydrate, which they extract from the dead, like, via their nose.
Ew.
I couldn't watch it. They're selling it on the black market.
Of course.
Okay, so this is, like, taking over.
All right.
All right, at the top of the film, karma has come to collect for Roddy Largo. Because he's obviously a bad dude, right?
Yeah, sucks.
He learns that he is terminally ill, and he must decide who will inherit Gene Co. and rule this industrialized world when he bites the dust, which is coming kind of fast.
Okay.
This isn't an easy task because his three children are absolute shitbags.
Okay.
Okay. We have Luigi Largo. This is, you don't like it, do you?
Luigi?
Yeah. I don't know the way you said it. Luigi.
I mean, it reminds me of the Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. He's the maniac with an anger issue. This is Bill Moseley again.
Little guy running.
I mean, pretty much the same.
The Luigi.
Yeah. If Luigi from Mario Brothers was a fucking maniac with a knife, it would be pretty much the same. He is kind of goofy. Then we have Amber Sweet, the diva who's addicted to the knife, as well as Xydrate.
All right.
Again, because it numbs you out. Then we have Pavi Largo, the vain one who likes to wear women's faces on top of his own. He is very creepy.
Okay.
I did not like his character.
Yikes.
Okay. So obviously Roddy isn't too pleased with his options.
Yeah.
Not looking so good. So he decides to
Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens. He decides to leave his fortune to a 17-year-old girl named Shiloh Wallace. Who the fuck is that?
Who's that?
All right. Let me explain. This requires some backstory.
Okay.
This is all very dramatic.
Uh-oh.
Once Roddy had a lover named Marnie. And he thought that they had the perfect life.
Okay.
That was until Marnie met a doctor named Nathan,
whom
she married, leaving Roddy heartbroken.
In the dust.
Leaving him in the dust. Mm. Dust. Him and his ponytail.
He took up opera.
It was flapping. So flash forward a bit, and now a pregnant Marnie gets sick.
Oh, no.
Smarty Pants Nathan thinks he creates the cure. Okay, he's like, I have the antidote, I made it. But it actually makes Marnie extra sick, and she starts dying. So Nathan can only save one, and he saves the baby, and they name it Shiloh. Well, not they, because
the other one is not with us any longer.
He, I guess, decides on the name Shiloh. But he is left thinking that he killed his wife on accident. Okay. In reality, Roddy saw Marnie's sickness as a chance to get even because she left him.
What a bitch. Yeah.
And he slipped poison into Nathan's antidote.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Roddy let Nathan take the fall so that he could trap Nathan into becoming a repo man to avoid jail time.
Whoa. This is Giles.
Giles is the repo man.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually really cool if you are a Buffy fan to see Giles, like, he's bad. He's kind of bad in this. Well, not kind of. Yeah, he kills people very violently.
He's bad. Oh, bummer.
Bummer. Okay, so that's where we are. Now, Nathan is hiding his repo man life from his 17-year-old daughter, Shiloh, who is homebound due to a blood disease passed down from her dearly departed mother.
Mama.
So dad says, hey, you have this disease.
Yeah.
You have to take your meds and you can't go outside or you'll totally die.
You will burn up in flames.
Thank you, Laura.
All right.
But Marnie wishes to get out. Okay. She's 17. She wants to break free and she wants to see this rather bleak world. When you like,
I thought her name was Shiloh.
What did I say? Marnie. Oh no, that's the mom. She's dead.
Oh.
Shiloh. Bye-bye. No, I have it in my notes as Marnie. Okay. I must have been upset about the mom dying.
They always make the mom die.
They always do make the mom die. When I saw it, I was like, what the fuck, man?
What the hell?
Okay, Shiloh wishes to get out. My bad. Mm-hmm. She wants to see the world. So when she gets a call from Roddy saying that he has a cure for her disease, she sneaks out to meet him.
Uh-oh.
She doesn't know who he is, though.
Of course.
Okay, Roddy takes Shiloh to his genetic opera. It's like an opera. I don't know. This is a weird world. I can't explain what a genetic opera is, but it's just an opera. And she meets Blind Mag, an opera singer who definitely seems to recognize Shiloh.
Oh.
So some more backstory.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And this backstory all happens through those like comic book shots, which I kind of liked. It seemed like most people did not care for it, but I thought it was cool. So it turns out Mag was Marnie's best friend and she was blind. Okay. But luckily 17 years ago, Marnie's then boyfriend Roddy had Mag's cure.
Okay.
A new set of eyes, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So now Mag could see with, like, they're, like, surgically enhanced because this is, like, a futuristic world.
Right.
So they're, like, I don't know. They, like, they're kind of creepy. Okay, anyway.
They're creepy eyes.
Not only could she see, but she could sing. Okay?
So did that come with the eye transplants?
No, she just happened to be able to also sing.
Okay, in addition.
Yes, and so she signs an opera contract with Gene Co. Little did she know her contract had some mighty fine print. Okay. It was signed in blood. And now Mag and her eyes belong to Roddy Largo and Gene Co. indefinitely.
Yikes.
Oh, fuck. So back to present day.
Yeah.
Mag kind of knows all of this, but she doesn't care. She's ready to retire and get away from Roddy Largo.
Yeah.
Make a run for it, despite the contract.
Him and his rug. Done with it.
She's like, that ponytail, I have had absolutely enough.
I've looked at that for too many years.
You gave me my eyes back to see that?
That's a slice of the old dick pie right
roast
there.
Of the century. Oh, fuck. Okay, this obviously pisses Papa Roddy off, who immediately places her eyes on the repossession list.
Oh, shit.
So it goes to Giles. I forget what his name is.
Giles.
He will always be Giles to me.
He's just Giles.
He's just Giles pretending to be a repo man in this. Okay. At this point, Nathan, mm-hmm. he's emotionally torn. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Because he knows Mag.
Yeah.
Because she was the best friend, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he tells Roddy he won't do it. He can't do it.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, Mag tells Shiloh that she is her godmother. That's like she kind of recognized her. She thought that she died with the mom.
Oh.
There's a lot of fucking drama in this movie for no reason at all.
I'm your godmother, but I didn't know you existed.
She's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were dead.
Bummer.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
She warns Shiloh not to trust Roddy Largo. Like, isn't it obvious not to trust this motherfucker?
I mean, it's the ponytail.
And this song is called Chase the Morning. And this, to me, was the most, like, it had its moment. Chase the morning. That's what it sounded like. I think this is when you walked out and saw me watching this and I was like, yes. That was a pretty good tune.
And I was rolling my eyes.
And Laura was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, dancing on the couch. I get like, if that played in the club.
Banging.
Fucking banging. Okay. Super speed round wrap up.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
This is a weird one. Okay. Roddy puts a hit on Nathan's head because he wouldn't kill Mag.
Damn.
But Nathan has learned about Roddy's plan to like steal Shiloh and give her his fortune. Right. And now he's in pissed off, protective pawpaw mode.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. So everything comes to a head, of course, at the genetic opera.
With Anthony Stewart. Head.
Like, did he choose that? Is that his last name? Because you know how some actors
like made it a makeup name.
Well, you know, yeah, they
Why
do
would
it all
you
the time.
Like, pick the name Head.
That's what I was just asking. No. But if it's a family,
I think it's his family.
Okay. Well, in that case,
I'm so sorry.
I said nothing. Okay, we're back at the opera.
There we are.
We are back at the opera. Amber Sweet, this is Paris Hilton, okay?
Oh my God, I was just thinking, like, what if they named him Dick?
Who? Dickhead?
You're named after your uncle.
Like, Dick. someone had to do it. Like, some asshole in the family lineage was like, you know what, I'll do it.
I shall name thee Dick.
That is a slice of the old dick pie, isn't
Richard?
It?
Richard.
Fuck. Okay, get back to the opera. I know you don't want to go back, but let's go back. We're back at the opera. Amber Sweet,
yeah,
aka Paris Hilton.
Right.
She's said to be the big act. She's like replacing Mag.
Okay.
But her new face, okay, because she like is addicted to the knife, yeah. Remember? It falls off during her performance. This movie is like oddly bloody and violent, like it's so kind of silly,
right?
I don't think it was supposed to be silly though.
Oh, what's
you know when something
but it was
you know when something ends up campy and they didn't mean to be like campy. I still like it, but okay, Blind Mag takes the stage last, okay. And as her grand finale, she pokes her own eyes out in like an act of defiance, right? Because he's gonna repossess her eyes, and she knows it. She knows she can't really get out.
I'm disgusted right now.
Why?
Yikes. She poked her own eyeballs out.
I mean, yeah, I guess that is pretty. I told you it was violent. It is gruesome. Like, I told you. She says, I would rather be blind. I would rather
and see
be
that topper
blind,
one more time.
Boy, I'd rather go blind. But what if she fucking said that? Someone needs to put it in there. I'd rather be blind than comb that fucking ponytail one more time. I imagine he had her comb it. He seems like the type. Oh my fucking God. Okay, her eyes, they're gone. Okay, and as she's like doing that, Roddy Largo cuts the cord that's suspending her, because remember it was like an operatic performance.
Yeah.
Is operatic a word? I hope it is, because I've said it like 50 times. Cuts it, she falls down, and she's impaled on a fence.
Jesus.
So rest in peace, Blind Mag.
Damn.
I said it was rated R.
Yeah.
I feel like you should have been prepared for this.
Wow.
Shiloh discovers that her father is the repo man.
Yikes.
Yikes. And that he has actually been poisoning her so she would be sick and stay inside forever. Little bad case of the overprotective dad.
Yikes.
Yikes. I couldn't tell if, like, because Roddy Largo tells her that that's what was happening. Okay. So I couldn't tell if, like, was he actually doing that or
was he like trying to pull one over?
I can't tell. But anyway, a lot of drama. Roddy offers Shiloh all of Jeanco if she kills the dad, Nathan.
Damn.
But she refuses. So Roddy shoots him dead before keeling over himself.
Kills Giles?
Giles is dead at the end of this. Rest in peace.
Dude.
I didn't see it coming.
Wow.
I did not see it coming. Rest
that
in peace.
That sucks.
So now Shiloh is free at last.
Gonna sing the songs.
Shiloh. She's like, yeah, I'm free. Woo. I don't know what she says.
And she's happy her dad is dead.
I mean, like, she's like, were you poisoning me? Because that's really fucked up.
He's like, yes, but I still love you.
That was kind of, they do have like a moment where they're like, I love you. But then he dies and she's like, all right, I'm out.
Peace out, bitch.
That's basically the end of the film.
Oh, my Lord.
The little girl fled and the king is dead and the castle is left for the taking. But Jeanco might survive it if it undergoes surgery. Surgery.
Surgery.
Yeah.
Money.
Okay, thank you. There is some stuff with the Largo kids at the end. that explain that they basically take over and it's still the same bullshit.
Hmm.
And that's the end of the film.
Key Largo, Montego, baby, run away to the Kokomo. We'll
get that fast and we'll take it slow. Okay, what's my fucking lesson? I mean, it's a cool movie. I see why people kept requesting it. Yeah. It is very cool. Yeah. If you were into anything, like, I mean, it's kind of spooky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of graveyards happening here. It's kind of like goth, kind of steampunk, cyberpunk, weirdly somehow. Yeah. I don't know. There, aesthetically, it's like just very odd. There's nothing like it, which is why I think we should all like at least applaud, give it a round of applause.
Yay.
Because I would at least rather see something like this that is like a fresh.
I mean, hey.
Yes.
They cast Giles. What more can you ask for?
Exactly. And again, wow. I mean, like, I feel like he broke a blood vessel. Like, he was singing so hard. Look out, Jonathan fucking Davis. Anthony Stewart had his ear. All right, what is my lesson? It should have just been him. He deserves a witch whisper, doesn't he?
Did you see Giles with the Jonathan Davis? He's from Corn,
with his
right?
hair. With the Jonathan Davis hair. I would kind of like to see it a little bit. Do you have any guesses for my lesson?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, when Blind Mag, who I thought was like one of the best characters, I liked her a lot. Again, her song.
Yeah.
Ooh,
rockin'.
Yeah, it was rockin'. I like your terms today. Very 1950s, rockin'. That's so rockin'. It's a rockin' tune.
You're a hot dish.
Meet me at the hop. Okay, when Blind Mag is serenading Shiloh, chase them on hen. She uses the projection capabilities of her Jean-Co eyes. Remember I said they're kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
To produce a hologram of Mama Marnie singing. To kind of like let Shiloh know that she could trust her, I guess. Hmm. I don't know. Again, this is all communicated via song.
Yes.
So I may have missed some things.
Yikes.
But she's kind of saying like, chase the morning. Don't give up.
Yeah. The morning, like as in the morning or the
know.
M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Hey. Mm.
Put that on a pillow. I'm sure Michael's already has. Chase the morning. I would like that. Fuck. Okay. And because this was a movie about organs, I landed on eye symbolism, mythology, and superstitions as a lesson.
All right.
Ooh, I struggled with this one.
Did you?
Took me a while to land on what the fuck I could talk about.
Yeah.
But I like a challenge, and I actually really like my lesson.
Cool.
Okay, so eyes are sensory organs that receive visual information.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay. Put on my lab coat for a second, then I'm going to take it back off. Because they are also seen as magical symbols and are often used to represent extraordinary perception beyond what we can physically see. So they are connected to the element water.
Okay.
And they represent emotion, perception, truth, connection, intelligence, awareness, and consciousness.
Ooh.
It can also mean the opposite or lack of what I just said.
Okay.
If the eye appears closed.
Mm.
So it's kind of like that duality, like open,
it's
closed.
Duality.
Okay. So like an open eye could be seen as like awake or woke.
Yeah.
And a closed eye could be seen as still asleep.
Yeah. In the Matrix.
Dumb. No, I'm just kidding.
Dumb.
I was kidding. I was totally kidding. Okay, they showcase the ability to see deeper truths, to go inward and beyond, to explore the depths, to gain the insight that comes with it, to truly see.
Ooh.
So eyes are the bridges between our inner reality and outer reality.
Okay.
They are the windows to the soul. We've all heard that one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say it.
I love it. Are the windows to the soul. Wow.
Stitch that. Why do I feel like Enigma's gonna come in? Hi, hi, hi. That was like just felt very soft. Love, emotion. I promised I wouldn't sing too. It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it is.
To understand one's eyes is to understand that person very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
At least some people feel that way.
Yeah.
That's why eye contact is seen as very like intimate for some and like uncomfortable for some, because it is kind of.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
About eye contact?
Yeah.
It does make me uncomfortable sometimes.
Does it?
I'm very much like, you can tell what's going on with me by looking at my eyes. I can't hide it.
I always look people in the eyes. Yes, I have to. I want to see what's going on.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You're intimidating me, see?
See?
It freaks me out a little bit.
I probably intimidate other people. I want to look at you in the eyes when I'm talking to you. I've overcome the fear of looking down at the ground.
Okay, well, I love that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I have to work on why I'm intimidated by that. You know,
remember that show, Lie to Me? Dude, yes. Love that. Yeah. If you look down, if you look to the right when I'm talking to you.
Oh, so you're trying to see. Oh, so you're like plotting.
Well, I'm just trying to see what I find. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Okay. So everyone, fucking hell.
No wonder I intimidate
people. I was going to say, anyway, maybe you want to drop that.
Again, why am I single?
A little bit of a tough exterior there. Okay. So it's not surprising with everything I just said that eyes are very much linked to spirituality. Mm-hmm. So opening your eyes to see your truth and connect with a higher power, with yourself or both.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So think intuition, meditation, inspiration, sacred knowledge, spiritual insight. So religiously, eyes are often used to symbolize knowledge. So eyes open to the light,
right?
And ignorance closed and in the dark. So there's, again, that kind of push and pull.
Yeah.
So some examples of spiritual eye symbols that might sound familiar. There are actually a lot of them.
Are there?
Yeah, that's why I thought this was kind of a cool intro. So you have the Eye of Horus, which is an ancient Egyptian symbol that means protection, health, and restoration. And then you have the Eye of Ra, which is like a kind of opposite, which means protection still, but also destruction and power, kind of like the edgier side. All of these could be like, we could expand on all of these, which is kind of fun. Then you have the Eye of Providence or the All-Seeing Eye, and it's most known for being on the U.S. $1 bill.
Yes.
And it represents God watching over man. You know, classic. We're spying on you.
Is money the God?
Yes. Here, absolutely. Everywhere, probably.
I was going to say, not here in this house, but here in the United States, in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Then you have the Catholic Saint Lucy. She's the patroness. Ooh, saint of the blind and the bearer of light. And she's associated with eyes.
All right.
Then you have the evil eye. And this is a belief throughout the world in a curse brought on by an evil glare or glance. And then there are the amulets, the evil eye amulets that protect against that the evil eye. Yes. I'm sure these all sound familiar, right? Then you have the eye or hand of Fatima, aka the Hamza hand, which dates back to ancient Mesopotamia. And this is a symbol of protection and also is worn as an amulet. So that's the hand and it has like an eye.
Right.
Lastly, you have the third eye or the third chakra.
Or third eye blind.
How's it gonna be when you don't know me anymore? You had some twang in your voice.
Did
there
I?
Yeah. Okay, so the third eye or the third chakra, so you get it, third eye blind, you see what they're saying there.
Right.
In Eastern religions, this is an invisible eye on the forehead or in between the eyebrows that offers extraordinary perception and insight. There you go.
Talk about being woke. There you go.
Thank you, Laura.
You bet.
Anytime.
Love. I'm here.
Your little notes.
I'm here to interject.
I love it so much. Some eyes in mythology.
Yeah.
Ew, I thought that's kind of cool. In Norse mythology, the great god Odin traded an eye for some cosmic knowledge well water.
Hey.
Cosmic knowledge well water.
I'd trade an eye for that too.
New band name called it. That's kind of sick. That's why he's often depicted with a patch.
Hey.
There you go.
See my guy from a couple weeks ago? Patch. Patch from Days of Our Lives.
Oh my God.
He's in the house.
There he is. He was channeling him.
My Pittsburgh auto show.
Oh my God. Crush. Yes. I'll never forget. In Hindu mythology, the third eye of Lord Shiva represents transcendental wisdom, enlightenment, and transformation. You're kind of getting the vibe here. In Greek mythology, Tiresias was a blind seer known for their prophecies, guidance, and transformations between a man and a woman. And also in Greek mythology, you have Theia, the goddess of sight, prophecy, and vision. So you're seeing a lot of links to like sight and knowledge, wisdom.
Beyond
what you, again, you're getting the vibe.
The hidden.
Lastly, some superstitions involving eyes, because I just stumbled upon these and I thought they were very interesting. Apparently, like the twitching of your eye, everyone has a different superstition on what that means. I thought it just meant your eye was just having a little freak out moment. It
means that you are lacking in magnesium and need some magnesium.
Okay, lab coat lore.
There you go.
You know what? I thought you had to warn me before you put your lab coat on. Damn. So it is a common superstition around the world that if your left eye twitches, bad luck is coming. And if your right eye is twitching, it means good luck is coming. And that can like flip-flop depending on where you are.
Gotcha.
But like...
yeah, eye twitching could be good or bad.
My eye doesn't twitch a lot.
You must have enough magnesium in your body.
You hear that? Fuck yeah. Okay. A Japanese superstition called Sanpaku determines your fate based on the whites of your eyes. Like, I don't know. You have to look into it. But if you can see a certain part of the whites of your eyes, it means like something bad might happen.
Yikes. Okay.
It's like a bad omen.
All right.
Ew, that gives me the creeps. If eyes appear in your dreams.
Yeah.
What do they mean? It could mean a few different things. Might mean to pay close attention, open your eyes. Yeah. Duh. Could mean self-reflection and inner work is needed.
Hermit.
Dive a little deeper. Yeah. Okay. Try connecting with yourself and those around you on a deeper level. Go beyond the surface. Tap into your inner power and wisdom. Maybe practice some divination or meditation, whatever works for you. Try to like, you know, go beyond.
Yeah.
Or it could literally mean someone is watching you.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Someone should make a playlist of every song that we just randomly sing.
I know. Well, that would be a mishmash.
That would be kind of funny. That would be interesting. I feel like we learned some things.
I wonder if they can get Anthony Stewart Head singing Behind Blue Eyes.
Behind his version Blue out there? Eyes. But he sings it so specifically.
Yeah, he does.
But it's definitely...
Who did it first, right?
What do you mean? Yes.
The Who did it first, then Fred Durst.
Yeah. Does anyone remember that fucking music video with Fred Durst?
Yes, I do. I do remember that. Yes.
I'll fucking link it. Because if you haven't seen it, you must see it. Anyway, yeah. That's all I have about eyes. That's if they appear in your dreams, someone might be watching you. Look out.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever gone to an iridologist?
What the fuck is that?
It's a person that like does divination with like the flecks and lines in your eyes. I went once a long time ago. Yeah. It's called iridology.
Are you kidding
me?
We
could jump into that at some point.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I went to one once where like they tell you, you know, what's going on in your future with like your eyes.
Oh my
flex
God.
And lines and.
Ooh, I'm really fucking interested in that.
They can give
that.
You like health stuff and yeah.
Ooh, thank you for sharing that. I'm really interested
long
in that.
Ago. That was cool.
Hey, well, there you go. That's why I'm excited because that opens some doors there.
Yeah.
That is eyes.
Nice. That is eyes.
I mean, a weird lesson, but kind of cool.
I like that.
Very interesting
movie. Yeah, now we've got a lot of other things that we can...
jump off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like some fun and random facts about the film?
Would.
Okay, this bombed at the box office.
Not shocking.
No, but it's now a cult classic.
Of course.
Don't you love the comeback story?
I do.
There it is. Obviously, some bigger conversations are happening in this movie about like the healthcare system, capitalism, mega corporations. Cosmetic surgery, you name it.
The whole ball of wax.
I feel like they were trying to say a lot, not necessarily like in a serious manner.
Yeah.
Like the movie is so unserious.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that was their intention, but.
Yeah, but you definitely pick up on
You're definitely
things.
Picking
yeah.
up, like it's pretty clear what they're trying to say to you. This was intended to be part of a trilogy with a prequel and a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And that could still happen.
Really?
So it could.
Okay.
What?
but it's not looking good.
Okay, Lord. Some people
chances are slim.
Some people really fucking are into this.
Hey.
And if you were into this, the director and some cast members from this reunited for another horror musical called The Devil's Carnival in 2012. So
I feel like I've heard of that one before.
I don't think I looked it up and it didn't look familiar.
Really?
But I'm interested in it. Yes. As you suspected, Anthony Stewart Head was specifically chosen for this role after the director heard him singing in Buffy's Once More with Feeling.
There you go.
I mean, he was dynamite.
Spot on. I liked his vinyl collection in Buffy. Gosh, I was always envious.
I feel like you would have totally dated Giles.
I would have dated Giles.
Is he like your dream man, like maybe just a little bit?
Giles, super smart. Lives in a library.
Yeah. What's your favorite collects song vinyl. From Once More with Feeling?
The one that Spike sings, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Oh, my God.
I like Through the Fire, if you were wondering. Mm. And Giles, he's got a good little cutaway moment. Will this do a thing to change her? Am I leaving Dawn?
He sings so deep.
I have no shame.
Oh, my gosh.
Paris Hilton helped fund the film. She was super into it. Okay. Mm-hmm. She did this by doing.
She's like, somebody's going to give me a chance to act. Here, I'll pay for the whole thing.
She did this by doing public appearances at a nightclub because she was just so passionate about it being made. And nice. Many of the costumes worn by her character and like the character's minions mm-hmm. were her clothes.
Not surprised.
You know what? I like Paris Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will redeem you, Paris.
I remember that day you were watching that documentary on her or something.
Yeah. I like her. Fuck you, Laura. Yeah. Joan Jett. And you know what? Joan Jett looking hot as ever. Her arms.
Is she in this?
Yes. She makes a little cameo.
What?
I mean, it's for like a split second, okay. But her arms.
Ripped.
Chiseled. Fuck. Joan Jett looking good.
Damn. She makes it. Like 70.
When this came out. Yeah. Probably. But you know what? Looking fucking good.
Dude.
She makes a cameo during the song 17, which sadly was just absolutely atrocious.
Trash.
It was just trash. Yikes. Alexa Vega gave it her all, though.
Wasn't enough.
Way to go.
It wasn't enough.
Our buddy George Romero was supposed to make a cameo appearance in this film, but canceled due to scheduling conflicts. I don't know what the fuck he would have been doing in this movie.
What was he making? He would have been the ass kickers. What's it called?
His hair would
City ass kickers.
His hair could have been a stand-in for Roddy Largo's toupee.
George.
He had a similar.
He did.
He did have a similar ponytail.
He did. Yeah.
And last, I wanted to leave you with this because I wanted to know if you wrote this IMDb fun fact. This is a direct quote.
Yeah.
At 1 hour, 12 minutes, when Shiloh. When Shiloh is in the Gene Co. building, the room she is in contains a chair that is grossly out of proportion to the rest of the room items. It is huge. That was one of the fun facts.
Was it? I did write that.
I said, who put that there?
A Virgo.
And that is Repo, the genetic opera. Nice. Thank you to everyone who suggested it. I enjoyed it. It's a fun time. If you are someone who like, you can not take things too seriously for a minute.
Yeah.
Go watch
this
it.
This is it.
It's good. And you like if you hate,
I love a musical.
If you hate musicals,
this is not for you.
This one is not for you.
I love a musical, but I don't know if 58 songs, you know, that's pushing it.
It's a little hefty and the like tone of it is really not your kind of vibe.
Yeah.
The whole thing looks like it is being filmed through like, it's like blurry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Go enjoy.
Just go check
it
out.
Have some fun, kids.
Check it out.
All right.
Step aside. I'm up.
Okay.
It's my turn.
All right, what do you got?
I cannot tell you how many times this has been requested specifically for me.
For you. They asked for you to do it.
What are we almost 4 years in? I remember like the first month that we were doing this, a friend reached out and she's like, you have to do Outlander.
Yeah.
And I had not seen it.
I've never seen it.
And I didn't have time to like start watching it. Like taking on a series is like a real commitment.
Does it have multiple seasons?
Oh my gosh. We talk about it. They just finished their seventh and signed for an eighth and final season and a prequel series. So,
oh my God. So you're investing some time.
You're investing.
For sure. Yeah.
And I just haven't had time, but I did finally sit down and watch the entire first season.
Yay.
Yes. So I am tackling Outlander. for all those folks that have been requesting it.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I feel like I'm going to want to. You're going to want done. To.
This
yeah.
is like my dream right here, I yeah. think. Yeah. It's considered a historical drama television mm-hmm. series. So the characters in the series are fictional.
Okay.
But some of the historical events are real.
Love that. Okay. That's fun.
I love that. Mm-hmm. The series began in 2014. Oh. And like I said, it's still going because they just finished 7. They're going to do 8.
Keep on trucking, baby.
Keep on trucking. The series was developed by Ronald Moore and based on the novel series by Diana Gabaldon. Mm-hmm. Named Outlander.
Okay.
Hopefully I don't get these names wrong because I'm sure that a lot of people listening, we got so many people so excited that I was doing this. And
I
I'm
feel
like
this has a fandom that we're unaware of. One of our patrons right. keeps talking about like how big this fandom is. Yeah. So like proceed with caution.
So I'm going to proceed with caution and I hope I don't mess up these people's names because I don't know them.
Like it's all going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Now I will say I had to bring this in because the music composer is Bear McCreary.
Okay.
I literally love this music so
pretty?
Much.
Oh,
it's so pretty. Yeah. It's so pretty. Yeah. Well, I mean, Lorena McKennitt, she could get in there.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the first episode mm-hmm. just to wet everybody's whistle. All right.
Ooh, wet it.
Yes. the title of the first episode is Sassnach.
Okay.
I think I said that right, mm-hmm. which is Scottish and it means Englishmen mm. or as they called them, the Outlanders.
Oh, I see.
So there's your title. There's your title. So I thought it was important to bring that in. All right. So your cast in this first episode, I'm only giving you like the 4 main players because this is like another ensemble cast. You know, you're running 8 seasons.
Change.
There are so many people.
Right.
This is like a Game of Thrones or something where you've got this like 100 people.
This is 101. We're given just the tip.
Yeah. So I have Catriona Balfe, and I hope I said that right, as Claire Fraser mm-hmm. and Sam Heughan. I hope I probably did not say that right. As Jamie Fraser.
Okay.
That is one good looking man. That's all I have to say. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Tobias Menzies is Frank Randall slash Jonathan Blackjack Randall. So he is in a
Jonathan Blackjack.
Blackjack Randall.
Okay.
And Graham McTavish as Dougal McKenzie.
Dougal McKenzie.
I inadvertently started following this dude on Instagram because it popped up as a suggestion and I'm like, oh, is he in Ireland? Is he in Scotland? Oh yeah. This
She'll
looks
follow
like,
you
this
automatically.
Looks like content. And then I realized he had a blue check and then I looked closer and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the guy from Outlander.
Okay.
Yeah.
You so like his vibe.
I like his vibe.
I
like
his picking
vibe.
Up.
It's
All
a
right.
good vibe. Yeah.
It's All a right. good vibe.
So here's your plot.
Okay.
All right. The opening sequence and the music is gorgeous.
So is
Absolutely.
It Scotland?
They're in Scotland.
Ooh.
It's so beautiful throughout this entire season. The music, the cinematography, the lighting, the use of color. It's like vivid but muted.
Puts you in the world.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's just so beautiful. So we open to this beautiful landscape and a narration by our main character, Claire Fraser. Mm. She states that people disappear all the time. Most are found eventually. Disappearances, after all, have explanations.
Oh.
Usually. So there's some foreboding for
dun,
you.
Dun, dun.
It's 6 months after the end of the Second World War in the year 1945.
Okay.
Claire and her husband, Frank Randall, have been separated for 5 long years during the war.
Oh, damn.
Yes. She served as a nurse, although her passion is the study of botany and medicinal herbs.
There it is. I figured there had to be a planty element.
That's right. While Frank served in intelligence and covert ops for the British.
We got a smarty pants.
There we go. They are headed to Scotland for dual purpose, really. One is to embark on a second honeymoon to try to rekindle their marriage and get to know each other as they are now because they've been through some shit in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it would appear that their relationship is a bit on the struggle bus.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's a lot of love there, but it's kind of awkward and they play it really well.
Yeah.
And the second reason is that Frank is a professor of history and is about to begin teaching at Oxford.
Okay.
But before he does, he is in search of his own ancestral history.
Oh, shit.
Which has led him to the village of Iveness in the Scottish Highlands.
Mm. Interesting.
So upon arrival, the couple notice that there is blood smeared above the doorways of many of the buildings, leading each of them to ponder, like, is this a biblical sign? Is this a Moses thing?
That took a turn, very quickly.
What is going on? But Frank is quick to point out that it's probably a pagan tradition because they're still alive and well in the Scottish Highlands. Okay. So again, hello, up our alley.
Yes.
And it just so happens that they have landed right in time for Samhain.
Ooh.
Claire says, you mean Halloween? And it's this really interesting conversation, which you don't hear often in like shows or movies. And I really liked it. And it's basically a conversation about how the Christians stole, you know, the holidays. So you have Yule becomes Christmas and, you know, Samhain is Halloween and all that. So I really liked that.
Yeah.
The innkeeper invites them to celebrate Samhain with them and heeds them a warning that ghosts basically have free reign during this time. So be on the lookout.
Hell yeah. It's a party.
It's a party. With the help of the local priest, Frank is able to locate one of his distant relatives.
Okay.
A Captain Jonathan Blackjack.
There he is,
who served in the British Army in the 1740s during the Jacobite Uprising.
The what?
The Jacobite Uprising.
Okay.
So I had to look that up.
Yeah.
So Jacobitism is a political movement that supported the restoration of the senior line of the House of Stuart to the British throne.
Oh, boy.
And a high concentration of them hailed from the Scottish Highlands. Apparently this Black Jack was like merciless to the Highlanders. You did not want to get, you know, you didn't want to have a run in with him.
I see.
So as they head out on a drive to see the ruins of Castle Leoch, because he thinks his ancestor, Black Jack, could have walked the halls.
Oh, I see.
Frank regales Claire on some of the landmarks of the area. Mm-hmm. Pointing to a hilltop with a large rock formation, Frank tells Claire that this is a typical place for the British to hide and wait to ambush the Scots. Ooh. And this will become important later.
Okay, foreshadowing.
Yes. Another history fact finding mission with the Reverend leads Claire off to the kitchen with the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this made me chuckle, but it seriously did. She's like sipping her tea and she's like, ooh, it's been a long time since I had a good cup of oolong.
Oolong.
The housekeeper says it was scarce during the war, but tells her that it's really the best type of tea for a tea leaf reading.
Ooh, color me intrigued.
Yes, it seems she comes from a long line of readers and tells Claire to drink up and let's see what the leaves have to say.
Oh, fuck yes.
See what those tea leaves have to say.
I'm gonna fucking chug it.
Right? It seems that her leaves are a little wonky and she is having a tough time sifting through all of the contradictions in like her leaves.
Okay.
It seems she is going on a long journey, but it also seems like she's staying here. She's like, well, let me look at your palm. Let's see if I can get any clarification.
Let's try all of the methods.
She sees two marriages, but there are not two marriage lines. The line is forked. It's nothing like she's ever seen before. Hmm. Kind of like she's married to two people at the same time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
We're time traveling. Yep.
This all leaves Claire a little rattled, and she takes her leave, heading back to the inn for some R&R. Mm-hmm. Later that evening, as Randall returns back to the inn in the pouring down rain.
Ooh, sexy.
Yes. He sees a stranger, but he's not. His character kind of gives me
the... Oh, he's not sexy.
He kind of gives me the...
I thought you said he was hot. No, this isn't this guy.
That's not that guy. Okay. It's the other guy. All right. Anyway, he sees a stranger staring up at his wife in the window as she's like getting ready for bed.
Yikes.
As he approaches the gentleman wearing a kilt, he turns and disappears.
Poof.
Is Randall seeing one of those Samhain ghosts?
Hello.
He thinks he is because he says when he turns, he should have felt him brush past him, but he didn't. And then he just disappeared.
Spooky.
Randall sets the alarm so he and Claire can wake up bright and early and head to Craignadoon.
Craignadoon,
where the witchy or druid pagan practices are still in full swing.
Okay.
So they kind of like duck and just watch. They're not supposed to be there.
Got it.
They witness a procession of women dressed in flowing gowns, carrying lanterns, dancing. To this beautiful music. It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
The hairs on the back of Claire's neck are at full attention, and she realizes that she's witnessing some ancient powerful magic at work.
And she likes
it. And it's like this procession up to these like standing rocks, which kind of look a little bit like Stonehenge. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you like bring that to your mind.
You know, Stonehenge.
The next day, as Randall heads back to visit the Reverend and resume his historical data collecting, Claire decides to head back to where they witnessed the ceremony.
Okay.
Because she saw a plant there that she thinks was a forget-me-not, but she's not sure, so she wants to collect a specimen for identification.
Very you.
Yes. While there, the wind starts to howl, and one of the rocks seems to be vibrating. And they're huge, like huge rocks, right?
Yeah.
So she lays her hands on the rock and ends up landing herself in a time hop back to 1745.
I knew it.
In the midst of the Jacobite uprising.
Okay.
She's feeling a little disoriented.
Feeling a little woozy over here.
And she's wondering what the fuck is going on, right? So what she says is when the mind is faced with something that makes no sense, it scrambles to rationalize the situation. So she's immediately like, you can see her like looking around, trying to take stock of what's going on. She's like, perhaps I stumbled onto a movie set of some sort. Until she begins being shot by live ammo rounds.
Ooh.
Like, then she's like, nope, that's not what's happening. Yeah, so she starts running from the gunfire and runs into this man by the water's edge who looks exactly like her husband, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Now she's sure that there's games afoot. She's like, Frank, what the
fuck are you doing here?
When she's quickly accosted by the man, she realizes this is not Frank.
Okay.
No. This man is actually Jonathan Blackjack Randall.
Oh, you went back.
Ancestor to her hubby. Yes.
And there's already sparks flying, aren't there?
No.
There's going to be
not
sparks.
With him.
Are there sparks?
Not with him.
His
character is so vile.
Oh.
Like so vile.
The Blackjack guy?
So vile.
Who's right? The hot one?
We're getting there.
Okay.
Hold your pants on, my friend.
Okay.
So this is the dual role. So yeah. So he like basically accosts her and she's like, okay, this is not my husband. He's like, Jack Randall, here I am. Okay. You know, yeah. I'm working for the British Army.
Great.
That doesn't make any sense, right?
No.
All right. So just in the nick of time, because this guy's getting, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
She is rescued by a Scottish Highlander.
Okay.
But when he returns with her to his clan, she wonders if she is in any better company here.
Uh-oh.
Yikes. She's interrogated by Dougal McKenzie, who takes her for a spy. And her fate is looking a little grim.
Okay.
But that is until she steps in with her nursing expertise, to which these men have never seen the likes of, right?
Sure.
And puts a dislocated shoulder of a clansman named Jamie Fraser back in place.
This is,
oh my God,
you were giving me the eyes. Okay, so there he is.
If this lady can heal the sick, we best keep her around, right?
Okay.
So she gets to ride on a horse and share a blanket with that young lad, Jamie. And we can all guess where this is leading to, right?
There are the sparks. Uh-oh. And you're in another time. Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay, wait, is that where it ends?
No.
Okay.
As they head out to the middle of the night, Claire realizes that she can't see like lights in the city. Like she should be able to see the city ahead of her.
Girl, you are not in the city.
Well, she's still trying to rationalize.
No, absolutely.
She realizes now that there is no electricity.
Yeah, honey.
Different time. And she now, her mind has finally made the rationalization.
There we go.
That she is not in the 20th century anymore.
Her eyes have been opened.
Third eye is blind no more.
Oh, there it is.
As they proceed on the journey, Claire comes to recognize the formation of rocks that her husband Frank told her about just 2 days earlier, where the English like to lay in wait and ambush.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So warning her captors of danger, saving them from death.
Mm-hmm. Now she's in.
Now she's like, okay.
She is right. In.
Yes.
Okay.
Jamie, of course, is shot in the process and Claire is back on duty. I don't think she might.
I got to tend to the wounds.
That's right. Which are on his bare chest, you know. And it's
I thought you were going to say ass. For some reason, I thought you were going ass. Because this seems kind of like a romance novel a little bit.
Oh.
So I thought you were going ass.
Where's Fabio?
He got shot on the butt.
Where's Fabio?
You must tend to my buttocks.
That's right. Although Jamie is in need of rest, the Raggle Taggle Bunch must push on because Captain Jack is hot on their trail and he's not one to be messed with.
Yikes.
Again, I have in parentheses, his character is despicable.
It's just really bad.
He makes me want to vomit. All right, they make it to the clan's castle, Castle Leoc, the very same ruins that she visited with the Hubs, now in its glory, and Claire reflects that after all she has been through, she believes her journey has only just begun.
We've only just begun to live white lace and promises. Stop before I cry.
Kiss for luck and we're on our way. We've only just begun. I love the Carpenters. You know I do. Mm-hmm. Where's my Haagen-Dazs?
Exactly.
I mean, I have many memories of that.
World's most depressing music.
The Carpenters.
Oh my God.
You do it when you listen to them with the Haagen-Dazs when you're in the depths of heartbreak despair.
You always told me that.
It's the truth. I don't lie. It's the truth. I do not lie. All right, so that's the end of the first episode.
Okay, you know what? I'm a little hooked on that. I'm kind of intrigued.
We've got romance.
We've got witchcraft.
We've got the whole thing.
We've got a little plant witch here.
Yes.
Little medicine mama.
Yeah, so pretty much the rest of the season is the budding love between Claire and Jamie, of course.
Love it. Hot.
Her desire to return to her own time period, but also this sense of duty, knowing that the Jacobite cause is going to fail, which is not good news. Like, so right, she's right, kind right. of like, I should stay and like help
maybe
these
help
people
you out a little bit.
And they all continue, yeah, because she knows what's going to happen.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. They all continue to be harassed and tortured by Jack, Black Jack. But I loved this first season. I thought it was so awesome.
Yeah.
I watched it the whole way through. I think I binge watched it. I started watching the second season, which they're like off in France, and they kind of lost me for a minute. Now I know I need to go back and watch, because this is when they start going to the herbal apothecary and stuff like that.
Ooh.
But it's so funny because like the fanciness of France,
yeah,
like the dress, the design,
it's
just like not my thing.
Sure.
Like give me the hut with the mud floor in the Scottish Highlands. And I'm like, whoa, this is like so cool.
Oh my God. Is this roof thatched? I'm
you know,
into
you
it.
Know I'm, you know, I was looking for that. All right. So here's a few fun facts.
Okay.
Castle Leoc is a prominent set on the series, but is actually filmed at one of the best preserved medieval castles in Scotland, known as Doune.
Ooh.
The castle is in Perthshire, and it was built in the 14th century by the Duke of Albany.
So you can go there.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
Also used in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Was it the fucking elderberry scene?
I think so.
That's hilarious.
The elderberry scene. That's
iconic.
The one everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Battle of Culloden, I think that's how you say it, which marks a pivotal point in the series, was actually a real infamous battle in which many of the Scottish people lost their lives.
Yeah.
It was portrayed very accurately in the series.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
At least.
18th century rural Scotland left little to be desired in the way of medicine. So it's a very accurate portrayal. There were not many options. There were no local hospitals. I mean, they didn't even know anything about medicine in general.
Right.
So it was a very interesting way on how they showed her kind of like adapting and shifting from being a nurse and having all that knowledge into accessing the plants and the natural medicine. It was a cool way that they did that. They also showed the Scottish people, tend to be a superstitious lot.
Okay.
So the show highlighted that very well. Maybe not now, but maybe in the past. But anyway, it's a lot of talk of witches, fairies, Samhain, the dead roaming around. Like you see those pagan roots in there, and I really like that.
Yeah, right up our alley.
And that ghost that Frank saw looking up at his wife.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
It was Jamie, young Jamie.
He was looking for his lover.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm already heartbroken.
Right?
I have to know about it.
You have to.
I'm already invested. I have to look it up.
You should watch it.
Is there some steaminess?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Oh yeah.
I told you it was giving me
Fabio vibes.
It was giving me romance novel. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
All right. The tea leaf reading scene's dialogue sticks close to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Claire asks Mrs. Graham if she will meet a tall, dark stranger and travel across the sea, which actually does happen throughout the show.
Okay.
So
nice.
It's more foreboding.
Cool.
So what is my lesson today?
I feel like, oh man, I feel like you have a few different options here. There's a lot
to choose from. She hadn't really gotten into the herbalism. Like she didn't really use any plants per se, except the forget-me-not.
Is it the
like
tea
she
leaf?
Didn't use it.
You're yeah, going tea right, leaf reading.
I'm go with the tea leaf reading.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Dude, because I've been waiting for this.
Because we talked about time travel. We've already talked about that. So I thought we have not talked about tea leaf reading.
Weirdly, it like doesn't pop up in a lot of shit, like as the prominent thing. Right. Ooh, yay. Yes, I'm very excited. Yes. What a cool lesson.
Woo-hoo. All right. So though, although most of us are in the know about that tasty, refreshing beverage known as tea.
I love it.
A good cup at night before bed. That's my thing.
Did you say a cuppa?
Cuppa.
A good cuppa.
A cup of tea. Cuppa.
A cup of tea.
I'm trying to be British.
I liked it.
Hot or iced.
I like a little bit of
during
both.
The day, at night, sit down for some cucumber sams and some afternoon tea. Delish.
I have never seen you eat a cucumber sandwich.
I tried to have a tea party once. You didn't want to come.
What do you mean?
I made cucumber sandwiches. I cut the crust off and everything. And you did not attend.
When the fuck was this?
I had
this?
A tea party with myself.
When was this?
Years ago.
And you had and a cucumber sandwich?
You know what?
I would have been there. I love a cucumber and you know that. You can't deny. I would have been there if I would have been told about the cucumber
Sammy. I'm going to have tea parties with
October. Well, what did you say? How did you invite me? Did you say,
come to my themed party.
Let's go pick herbs in the garden and then strain them and
maybe
clip the prongs off of the nettles. See? And I was probably like, no, please. I'm okay. If you would have told me about the sandwich.
I would have been there.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you know that tea has long been used to tell one's future?
I guess I didn't really.
Wow. How so, you may ask?
Tell me about it.
Hold on to your bonnet. So we're about to find out.
I do have that one picture of you in a bonnet.
Oh my God.
That
so
will
bad.
Have to be shared
that is
now.
So bad. The art of tea leaf reading or tassiomancy.
Ooh, pretty.
Can be tracked back thousands of years to China, where tea was first imbibed.
Oh.
According to legend, Chinese Emperor Shen Nung made the discovery in 2737. As he sat beneath a wild tea tree, Camellia sinensis.
Okay.
When the wind kicked up, blowing some of the leaves into his delectable beverage of boiling water.
Tasty. He said, now wait a minute.
Throwing caution to the wind, he decided to drink with the leaves and all in his water.
He said, I'm not afraid of a little twig and berry.
I'm not. Much to his delight, it was delish, and tea was born.
Tea was born.
Although it wouldn't.
That's
there's
iconic.
There's a long, you know, we can go even further into how it got
being
its name.
Like, I invented tea.
I invented tea. Although badass. It wouldn't appear in Chinese literature until around 350 AD.
Oh, so he was dead.
Yeah, he was long gone after that.
Damn, well, congratulations,
you know what?
Buddy. In my heart.
He discovered tea. All right, you know what else has been around since the dawn of time?
Huh.
Trying to make sense of one's world and gain insight into your future.
Tell me about
looking
it.
Looking for signs and omens and ways to tell fortunes.
Yeah.
You know, the Romans used to read their fortunes in the dregs or the sediment of the bottom of their wine glasses. You know, like the wine sediment. Yeah. So as tea drinking grew in popularity in China and Japan, why not interpret the shapes of the leaves to garner a sense of where your life might be heading?
Just kind of transform.
Yes.
Cool.
Tassiomancy may have also developed from another Chinese tradition of looking at the inside of bells to foretell the future.
Like bells?
Yeah. So the shape of a bell in their minds resembled the dome shape of the heavens.
Okay.
And by that reasoning, any type of dome-shaped drinking bowl or cup would also be suitable for telling the future.
Oh.
And then you have tea coming into play, so it's like a perfect storm.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, as tea made its way to Europe in the 17th century and the British fell in love with it, the government began to impose heavy taxation on it.
Naturally.
As we know here in the U.S. from the Boston Tea Party, right?
Sure.
Making it accessible really only to the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it became very popular among the well-to-do ladies. And it gave rise to the pastime of hosting tea parties.
Okay, now were they doing witchy things with the tea or they were just sipping?
And with their crumpets and milk and sugar.
I love a crumpet.
They would get, you know, a reading with those tea leaves.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't it nice to be rich?
Right.
Don't you just get to have it all?
bitter
I
much.
Just start to cry again. Grumpy button.
As the years rolled on, taxation on tea ceased, making it affordable to the masses. And along with the introduction of the tea bag in the early 20th century, tea leaf reading seemed to kind of fall by the wayside.
Damn, get rid of them bags.
Yeah. I mean, because it's chopped too fine. You're not seeing no shapes in those tea leaves.
No, what am I going to see there?
No, nothing. No. Yeah, so although a handy and convenient, time-saving, cost-effective way to utilize tea, it takes away from the ceremony and the joy of making a cup of loose leaf tea.
Yeah, and how are we going to divinate?
I prefer it.
You do, you know, love a loose leaf.
I prefer it. And yeah. I say it all the time. I miss my loose leaf tea.
You do.
All right, but...
Now you start weeping.
Grumpy button. But in its heyday... I mean, look out. So I think we should have a renaissance of loose leaf tea, and then we can do reading with the leaves.
Yeah, bring it back.
Here's how. Here's how we're going to do it.
Who are you going to tell me?
All right.
Ooh, 101.
Here we go. 101. There are over 3,000 varieties of tea.
Oh, my God.
Which are divided into 6 types. You have black tea. You have green tea. You have oolong. It's been a while since I had a good cup of oolong.
Yeah.
And white tea.
Okay.
That's 4.
Yeah.
And then we have compressed and flavored. These two are made up of the other 4 types, but they are not suitable for reading. So compressed tea and flavored tea can be made up of black, green, oolong, or white.
Okay. Yes.
But they are, the way that they're manufactured does not make them good or suitable for reading.
Okay.
The compressed tea is compressed into like a brick or a block.
Yep. Right.
Compressed, you know, makes sense.
I did use context clues.
So when you're making that sort of tea, you have to break the pieces off.
So that wouldn't work.
So that would not work with tea leaf reading. Flavored teas might have other herbs added into them, like roses or chamomile or something. And so that's going to detract from the reading. So, you know, she did say oolong was the best for reading.
So maybe let's just stick with the oolong.
Oolong. All right. So your vessel. It's up to you if you want to use something you have lying around or if you want a special set.
So it doesn't have to be a teacup.
Yeah, it has to be a teacup.
Oh, it does.
We're talking about your vessel is now the pot. I'm talking about the teapot right now.
Okay, my bad.
The teapot. So you can use like a teapot you have laying around if you want, or you can get like something specific that's just used for reading.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to choosing your teapot, here's some things to be aware of.
Okay.
Must make sure whether or not it contains like a mesh or a ceramic strainer at the spout, because this will prevent the leaves from flowing freely into the cup and are not suitable for readings.
Got it.
So be sure to choose a pot with an open spout to ensure a good reading.
Nice flow.
The tea leaves should be able to float freely around the pot. This also releases oils and aromas, making for a much more pleasurable cup of tea.
Mmm, tasty.
Yes. Now your cup. All right, one of the most important factors is the shape of your cup.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too large, it may be hard to handle, resulting in skewed results.
Oh, shit. Okay.
If it's too small, it may not be able to hold enough tea and leaves for a good reading.
Okay.
So just an average middle-sized teacup.
Don't go reaching for the fucking stars.
That's right.
Just get your little average guy.
The outside of your cup can be as fancy or plain as you like,
mm-hmm.
but the inside of the cup must be completely plain.
Blank.
Any type of pattern will confuse the eyes and interfere with the shapes created by the tea leaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's important to make sure your cup has a handle. And lastly, be sure your cup has a matching saucer, because this will become important to catch the drips when you tip the cup upside down.
I'm tipping the cup upside down.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. So your tea.
Yeah.
When it comes to choosing a loose leaf tea, some are better than others for reading.
Ooh.
The first and most important thing is the taste.
Okay.
Because if no one is going to finish their cup of tea, how would you do
if it tastes like fucking ass?
You're not going to finish it.
Right.
Then there's no reading. Make sure the leaves are neither too small or too large, nor should they be uniform in shape. So like a gunpowder green is a good example of a tea that's not suitable.
It's all the same. Little pellets.
Again, not with like herbal tea, like a jasmine tea or, you know what I mean?
You need something that's a little wild.
Here's some good options. Assam tea, Earl Grey, English breakfast, Darjeeling, Ceylon, and yes, of course, the oolong.
Oolong.
The oolong. All right, so now for the perfect cup.
Yeah.
All right. Fill your kettle with fresh cold water.
Okay.
And just before it boils, pour some of the hot water into the bottom of your teapot.
Okay.
Okay. Kettle, pot.
Kettle right? meat pot.
Swish it around to heat up your pot and then pour the water out.
Okay.
Okay. Spoon loose leaf tea into your pot using 1 teaspoon for each person that will be drinking. When the kettle water reaches a boil, pour it into the pot over the tea leaves and replace the lid. Let it stand for 3 to 4 minutes. Give it a swirl if you like, and then it's time to pour.
Ooh, this is exciting.
All right, the reed. Mm-hmm. All right, ready yourself as you would in any other ritual.
Right.
Sacred space, clear the mind, get your crystals out.
Cleanse,
put on some Lorena McKennitt, some ethereal music, light some candles.
We get it, okay.
Ground yourself, you know, get in the zone, man. Yeah. It is traditional to only read the leaves from the first cup of tea poured.
Oh, really?
Yes. Meaning that if you have a group of friends over and only one person gets the first cup of tea, that's the only person that's getting a reading.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, because the knowledge behind that or their thought process behind that is that the first cup pours most freely. So as it like gets down, you're not getting as much.
Right. You're just getting leaves. Got it.
You're just getting like the aftermath.
What's left.
Yeah. And so that's not, doesn't make for.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't want you doing, the other thing was they don't want you doing readings after the first cup because maybe I drank a cup of tea and you did a reading and I didn't like that reading. And so then I just say, I want another cup and another reading.
Kind of.
And so you're kind of
purpose.
Like, defeats a purpose. Right. And yeah. Exactly. Mm. If you tip over the cup and the leaves seem to have no rhyme or reason and you can't make heads or tails of the shapes, this means today is not a good day for a reading.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
As you drink the tea, relax your mind, focus on the intention. Kind of sounds a little bit like the tarot, right?
Right.
Focus on the question that you want to ask. When you have drunk your tea, be sure to leave about a teaspoonful left in your cup. Mm-hmm. And this help moves the leaves around.
Oh,
like
I
helps
see.
Them move around.
Right.
Hold the cup in your hand, breathe deeply, and ask your question. When you are finished, turn the cup 3 times in an anti-clockwise direction, and then turn it upside down onto the saucer and let it drain for around 30 seconds.
So it still has some water in it.
Still has some tea. Remember I said some a residue. Teaspoon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So you're turning the cup upside down and letting it drain. After the 30 seconds, turn the cup upward. And then it's time to interpret what the leaves.
So that's look why like you leave some. I see.
Yeah.
That's why so you leave stick. Some tea. So then they fall.
Yeah.
Ooh, cool.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
So it is important to pay attention to your first impressions and go with your gut.
Always.
Now you begin to analyze the shapes you see in the cup. Pay attention to the one that grabs you first because this might take precedence, right? Okay. The shape can have a literal or a symbolic meaning, and they're divided into 6 categories. The areas that most people are interested in knowing about, of course, career, romance, family and friends, money and values, health and travel.
Okay.
All right. So here are some of the symbols you might see.
Ooh.
And what they might... You know,
what they
say.
Might mean. Okay.
So if you see a ladder, a star, a mountain, an egg, a pen, an arrow, a key, or an eye.
Hey.
Could mean a new career is on the horizon, right?
Okay.
All right. 2 rings, a heart, a fan, a butterfly, lightning, and mushrooms. Romance is on the way.
Some mushrooms. Mm.
A nest, a basket, a cat, some clouds, family and friends.
Okay. All what right? that means... You just have family and friends.
I mean, something's going on there.
Okay, that's
nice. I guess it depends on what else you're seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some, I mean, and this is just a few of the symbols.
Sure.
There were tons of them. And a lot of them were crossover into the different categories. So
cool.
I think you'd have to dive a lot deeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. The currency symbol, a 4-leaf clover, a spider or a loaf of bread, money.
Money.
An apple, a feather, a spoon or a broom, health. A horse, a suitcase, an anchor, a shell, a flock of birds, travel.
Mm.
Ooh. And it can get way more complicated by dividing up the areas of the cup that the leaf is on.
Yes.
Almost like a tarot spread.
Sure.
You know, past, present, future, this and that. That's way deeper than we're going to get into today. So I'd say like dip your toes in with a teapot and give it a try and like find yourself. If you find yourself being drawn to this type of magic, then I'd maybe pick up a couple books
You've
or something.
You've been drinking like so much tea lately.
Yeah.
You should do it.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, you should really do it. We've been sent because they also make like specific tea leaf reading cups that have like the graph of, you know, what means what. And we've been sent a few of them.
Yeah. And they're still packed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but we can try it one day.
We're going to get there.
I'm going to start with a blank, cup.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Next time we go thrifting, we just need to get a cup and a saucer. Just
a good old medium sized cup.
Yeah.
And a little plate.
Yes.
Because you flip it over. Oh my gosh, this is exciting.
Yeah, it's called a saucer.
Okay, you know what? Go fuck yourself. Anyway. A little plate.
Anyway, that's fine too. That's what I got on the Outlander. So I hope everybody liked that. I hope I did it justice.
I mean, you made me want to watch it. Yeah, genuinely, it sounds good.
It is.
It sounds right up our alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. That's good. I really liked that lesson. I have been waiting. I didn't care who did it. I just wanted to learn about it because I've always been curious. Yeah. You know, we had the tea company and.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. I miss the magic I created with the tea.
You're going to get back to
it. I have been missing that a lot lately. Yeah. I've been drinking a lot of tea. And what do I keep saying? Shit. None of this tastes good.
Well, yeah. It's not. You know? It doesn't have your.
It's not good. Doesn't have my.
Your little extra spice.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe this is your. The beginnings of you coming back to it. Yeah. Maybe this is relighting the spark.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for your recommendations. Yeah. We both did like really heavily recommended things.
Yeah.
I'm sure Repo was suggested for me. I don't think they wanted.
So. They would probably not have wanted me to cover that.
I don't think they would have liked your coverage of that one. No. And Outlander fit you very perfectly. That was a solid episode. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Laura.
Thank you.
Hey, we love you.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next time.
Catch you on the flippity flop. TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.